Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
And to the storm we go first, and the clean-up and restoration, as we say, continues after Storm Ioan. The most disruptive storm in generations has left thousands of homes across the country without power and water. And the ESB has drafted in support from abroad now to deal with fallen trees, power lines and debris. Our first guest is Siobhan Wynne, who's Regional Director of ESB Networks. Good morning, Siobhan.
Good morning, Claire.
So what is the figure this morning for the number of homes without power?
So it's currently 180,000 customers remain without supply on our system. We have made good progress now over the course of yesterday again. You know, those UK crews that came in over the weekend have been fully deployed across the Cavan and the Northwest. And as you would have heard there on the news headlines, crews landed this morning by ferry from Austria, and they will be heading across to the Cavan Monaghan area. We also have Finnish crews will be landing now in the next few minutes, and they'll be heading over towards Westmead, Roscommon and Longford.
And those Finnish and Austrian, sorry to cut across your phone, but will they be able to work straight away, or do they need some training?
They will be. We'll have them up and running by later this evening. So they will arrive into our own centre there. They'll get a safety briefing. They've brought a lot of equipment. They've chartered a plane to bring a lot of equipment over as well. So they will be. The Austrian crews will be up and running today, and the Finnish crews will be up and running early tomorrow morning.
And in the main, they're headed to the north and northwest. Is that right?
That's it, right across the north. So it was spanning across from Cavan, Monaghan, over across to Longford, Roscommon, Mayo, Galway, up into Sligo and Donegal.
Now, we've heard this morning from people who say they've been told their power won't be back in some cases until the 5th or 6th of February. Is that what you're having to tell people still?
That is, like, unfortunately, that is the reality. It's as good as an estimate as we have at the moment. Now, we will, over the coming days, we may get a better view as to whether we can, you know, pull back any of those times, but we want to try and be as realistic with people as possible. So,
but you're still expecting to be able to bring that figure down of 180,000 who are out, to bring that down over the coming hours and days?
Absolutely, yes. So like each day we're hoping to get, you know, large numbers of customers back, and by the end of this week we would have hope the most, the majority of those will be back. Obviously, as the days go on, you're dealing with faults that are bringing back smaller numbers of customers, so the, you know, the progress appears to be harder and slower.
Now, a safety warning still around fallen wires, but also generators.
Yeah, so I think it's worth reiterating from a public safety perspective, you know, there still are potentially dangerous situations out there. You know, if there are trees down, there can be wires tangled, and we are aware of some situations where members of the public weren't aware of that. So we just urge people to be vigilant. If you come across that situation, to contact us on the emergency number. I'll just give you that again. It's 1-800-372-999. In addition, and I know a lot of people out there are connecting up generators, so just a couple of safety messages on that. First of all, you know, always install it in accordance with a manufacturer's instructions. It's really important that you locate a generator outdoors, away from any doors or vents or windows, because of the risk of carbon monoxide fumes. And then also make sure that they're installed by a competent person.
Okay, just on the issue of compensation, in Scotland, customers who are without power for whatever reason, they're entitled to up to £80 a day in some circumstances, a minimum of £30 a day. Will those who have lost power here, are they entitled to a refund of their service charges and the PSO levy?
So, like, I think as we've been saying, you know, like, this storm now is very different. You know, Met Aaron described this as damaging and devastating. It really is. We're in unprecedented territory. So it's a force of nature, effectively. And, you know, once we were notified of this storm, we actively prepared for it and started restoring, you know, from Friday. That really is our focus now, and remains 100% our focus, to try and restore power to people until we get the last customer connected. So we are also working with the government in relation to the emergency hubs to support those impacted. Mm-hmm. But really, restoration needs to be the focus.
Okay, we mentioned the north and northwest a couple of times there. I have a message here from a listener who's in Killaloe, 2 kilometres from Killaloe. No electricity or water since early Friday morning. The house is freezing. We're in our 70s. That's from Siobhan. So some of those crews that you mentioned will, of course, be dealing with problems in other areas too.
Absolutely, you know, and it's not just the external crews that we have. So, you know, we have over 2,000 people now deployed on storm response, and it's across the north of the country, you know, all across. So all of our crews, you know, that we can free up from the south of the country have traveled north. We have all of the external crews. We have our contracting crews. We've also drafted in timber cutters from the UK as well to assist. So we really are putting as many resources as this as possible.
Okay, we've a small business owner on day five without power in County Kildare. So, you know, this is more widespread than the north and the northwest. Siobhan, we'll leave it there for now, but thank you for being with us. I want to go to Dr. Peter Sloan, who runs a single-handed GP practice in Carraroe in Connemara, and Peter's on the line now. Hello, Peter.
Good morning, Claire. Thank you for having me on.
We're delighted to talk to you. We did try to contact you on Friday to see if you could speak to us, but I know you'd no signal at that time at all and we couldn't contact you. And since then, it's been a really difficult few days for you and the people there in Connemara.
Absolutely, Claire. I think there's a sense of despondency throughout Connemara, and I would say up and down the West Coast, because we have no electricity. It's coming back slowly and in a patchy fashion. A lot of places still don't have water. Water's, I think, getting connected quite well. But everywhere we go, we're told, check the website, check online. And we had no mobile phone signal until yesterday afternoon. Mm-hmm. It's still patchy at best. Can't get connected online inside indoors. You might have to come outdoors to make a phone call or get any connectivity. And we are now so dependent on being connected to the internet and, you know, mobile phone signals that it really is a smack in the face to tell people check the website and check online.
Yeah.
So the lack of connectivity, it's you know, critical infrastructure which didn't exist. So it's when you have no water, no electricity, no way to check anything online, you're really in a vacuum of nothingness. So I think the fact that people weren't quite aware of how bad things were in Connemara and probably a lot of places up and down the coast is because we had no way to contact anybody, to phone, to check the family are safe, to do anything.
Now, you have been trying to get out to people when you can who need you. You had one visit to a patient's home, which, you know, you were so hampered by trees that were down. This must have been in the hours after the storm, was it?
Yeah, I happened to get one call from somebody just at the tail end of the red. So I'm not suggesting that going out in a red warning is a good idea, but right at the tail end of the red from a local family whose child was having a full-blown seizure. And I just said, right, text me air code, which they couldn't. I got into my car, I drove 50 yards one way, a big tree down, 100 yards the other way, and a big tree down. And so I basically climbed out through a tree, and somebody took me to the child, who is fortunately okay. A lot of these things, Claire, I think, emphasise the fact that if you talk to people in Connemara, or talk to people in the locality here, we often feel that as citizens of the state that we live in, that we are valued less. The notion of rural general practice, critical infrastructure. Like we had a little bit of snow about 4 weeks ago, and we had no water and no power and no phone for 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
So this event, it's predictable. These things are predictable, and we don't really plan particularly well for them.
Well, that's what we're talking about this morning and focusing on the response, and we will be over the coming 2 hours. I mean, you who are dealing with people who are vulnerable in the community, how do you feel the response has been?
Well, nobody has come and asked me, do you need any help? So we are very fortunate that one of my local colleagues has given me a room, but I have, in my own surgery, I have no power, no phone, no internet, nothing. So we have a poster on the door. We are available in the health centre if you need us. Come and find us. And we managed to get our phone connected yesterday, so we're contactable.
Mm-hmm.
And we will just deal with what's in front of us. And that's as best as we can do. We checked yesterday for our vulnerable patients who we felt might be, have no one to look in them. And I went and did it. I went and checked in a couple of people at home, and they were doing okay. But it's not a particularly pleasant time, particularly if you have, and there's still people here who have nothing, no water, no phone, nothing, and very vulnerable, very isolated, very cut off.
Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday, the people who are really relying on carers to get them up in the morning and help them with their very basic needs. So you've been able to check in on some of those people.
Yes, between myself, the public health nurses and other colleagues, yes, we've made sure and there's fantastic local community which will have supported people. The local community, you know, cleared a lot of trees, a lot of different bits and pieces to get the community moving again. It's a very vulnerable place.
Mm-hmm. What would have helped in terms of support and communication since Friday?
Well, I think the first thing I would ask, and I would put it to the government, that you know we're supposedly a fairly well-off country. We don't have a problem with resources. And I think that the mobile phone network on this island should be regarded as critical national infrastructure so that it's not cut off. It is inexcusable that water supply is cut off whenever there is a power outage, because we know that generators may be needed in water pumping stations. This is the second time in 4 weeks. They could quite easily put generators in each water pumping station around the country, and I can't imagine it would be that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's galling when you look at the you know, there was a controversy last year about the cost of a bike shed and the cost of a security hut. Those are not critical pieces of national infrastructure. A mobile network these days is critical infrastructure, and water supply is critical infrastructure. I listened to you interviewing the regional manager for ESB, who talks about customers. ESB is a semi-state. It's owned by the state, and we are taxpayers. And the state has a responsibility to underpin its critical national infrastructure in a far more robust manner. So what would have helped if we had connectivity and we could find out what was going on?
Yeah, that makes sense. And they're very basic things to ask for. Dr. Peter Sloan, good to talk to you, and do take care. Thanks for being with us. For more on this, I'm joined by Dara Cailleary now, Minister for Social Protection and Rural and Community Development. Minister, I know you were listening there to Dr. Peter Sloan, who is frustrated, despondent. He says some of what happened is just completely unacceptable. What do you say?
Well, look, Claire, I'm actually here in Connemara as I speak, and I'm going to be meeting groups across Connemara. I'm heading to the Aran Islands as well today to get that kind of feedback. This wasn't predictable. I don't want to... This storm wasn't predictable in terms of its severity, and this area has taken the brunt of it. It was the first area hit. And our focus is getting connectivity back to power, to water, and absolutely, Dr. Sloan was right in terms of communication. We will learn from it, and absolutely we are going to be investing 30 billion euro extra in capital over the next 5 years. I will be looking to that goes into rural areas, but not just rural areas, it goes into our infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Are people angry and upset?
Significantly.
Okay, listen, I get...
In their infrastructure.
Yeah,
it's important to emphasise ESB are actually in the middle of investing several billion euro in their infrastructure and strengthening it.
Okay.
And we're also doing the same in the grid.
But I get what you're saying, that the storm wasn't predictable, but we need to have a plan in the event that something like this happens. And I think people were really shocked that it seemed as though that plan wasn't in place, even when it comes down to these hubs, some of which aren't open yet, some of which opened
but the plan
only
was
opened.
In place. The
only
National, the Emergency Coordination Group has been meeting since Wednesday. The initial plan was obviously to get information out to people in terms of warnings, and then that was followed immediately as soon as the red warnings lifted on Friday. ESB teams were out, local authority teams were out, and I want to thank ESB, local authority, and Irish Water for their work since that. You know, we have got nearly over 500,000 people reconnected, and I know that doesn't mean anything if you're not connected to water. We are locating generators, and Irish Water have explained that there are 8,000 points around the country that have our water power points. And they are locating generators into those. There's been a big development here in Galway overnight. One of the main water schemes is coming back online. And, you know, we will work with Irish Water in relation to generators and having them near to places.
Okay, yeah, okay. I suppose there are basic things, though, Dara.
I think that's really important that we're not going to forget that idea.
So on that, I mean, people have suggested that you could have key people in communities like Dr. Peter Sloan there, who would be supplied with a satellite phone so that they're not left completely in the dark, so that those people who are relying on carers, that they can make calls on their behalf. I mean, these are basic things that we really could have and arguably should have planned for.
Well, look, it's a practical suggestion. I'm very committed. I'm a TD for Mayo. I'm dealing with this for the last number of days with people across the county. But in terms of rural services, I live it every day. And I will be spending a lot of time working with Jennifer Carr McNeil as to how we support our rural GPs, not just in times of storm now, but also how we make their lives easier. We need to do a lot of work, and we will absolutely look at that.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a one in, you know, we haven't had the kind of winds that hit Maidenhead, which is here in Connemara, in over 70 years. We worked right through Saturday to get a response to Connemara. I worked with my colleagues, my political colleagues, with colleagues in rural and community development. I was particularly focused, Claire, on the islands. We got infrastructure reconnected on the islands, and we still have work to do in Inchbofin this morning. We're working through that. So we've been absolutely focused on this, working on this. Have we things to learn? Absolutely. And we will learn. We will make the necessary investments.
Right.
That's why we set up the Climate and Resilience Fund, that we would put money aside to invest in infrastructure that we need to cope with the world-changing climate.
Will we be applying for help under the EU Solidarity Fund?
We've applied for help already, and we've been engaging with the Commission on that. Funds are available. I just want to really emphasise, through the Department of Social Protection, who are doing fantastic work and are extraordinarily experienced in this space. We had 1,000 queries yesterday for the Humanitarian Assistance Fund. It has two elements, Claire. Firstly, where people have food loss or need food, need heat urgently, it is not income tax. They can engage with the Community Welfare Service. And through the hubs, we will be having people physically available to people. And secondly, where there's infrastructure or structural damage to your home, there is support available. The income limits are 90,000 for a couple, with additional allocations for children. So there is support available to people. And what I'm saying, and I want to really emphasise there, is people shouldn't be hungry, they shouldn't be cold. Please engage with the service. They're vastly experienced. The Department of Social Protection right across the country.
Okay, so people have to go and ask. People have to go and ask for the help. And really, what you think would happen in a situation like this is that the state would come and put its arms around you and hand you a voucher for 50 quid without you having to ask for it in a hub.
No. We have done this since Thursday evening. We have stood up this scheme, and we are engaging with people. We're putting the people in social protection in touch with people. They will engage with people. People are going to have different needs. People will have different needs in different houses depending on the experience. We are there to help people who are in most need. I also really want to acknowledge David McRevin and the team at OnPost, who have put their 5,000 post workers. They're out engaging with vulnerable people. They're offering to bring medicines and things to vulnerable people. Mm-hmm. And that's a fantastic example of a state company standing up its response.
If people
can engage with us, they will engage with very experienced and, most importantly in this case, Claire, empathetic and flexible people.
I said earlier that example from Scottish Power, if you lose your power for 24 hours, you automatically get £30 compensation. That's what I mean, that the money would just come to you, would just be handed to you in a situation like this. My screen is full of messages from people who have babies who are a year old, a year and a half old, who've no food in the fridge. Half the town has electricity, half the town doesn't. Desperate situations. And they have to go and ask for help is my point. They're having to go and ask for social welfare assistance.
There's absolutely desperate situations. I know that. And we are engaging. We are putting the infrastructure in place. Through the hubs, there will be social protection people available. But everybody's situation is going to be different. Absolutely say to people, that support is there. The expertise is there to guide you through it. I'm asking people to engage with
this. Listen, I want to ask you about one other thing. These reports today that the government waited until Saturday afternoon before officially requesting assistance from the EU. Can you explain, did that happen? Is that right, that we waited a whole day before putting in our official request?
That didn't happen. Minister James Brown has had discussions with the European Commissioner, and I've spoken to some of my colleague MEPs. We spoke to the Commission. There was an engagement with the Commission on Wednesday, so we were able to get access from Wednesday on to Copernicus, the European satellite that assisted MedAireann. And we put them, we were put on standby, we put the Commission on standby that we would have a need. The specific need was relevant to the specific damage. And obviously we did not get a sense of the specific damage until Friday afternoon when it was safe. And then on the basis of specific knowledge, specific damage, we put in a specific request. You can't, through the mechanism, put in a general request. But we had engaged with the Commission on Wednesday, we engaged with them on Friday, and then the formal request went in on Saturday. Once we knew precisely what support we needed, what resources we needed, and once the Commission knew, Claire, what they could give us in the context of a storm event that would have affected many parts of Europe as well.
Okay, will the Taoiseach be visiting the areas that are so badly affected?
Yes, as I speak, he's en route to areas in Roscommon. I'm here in Connemara, I'm heading to Ireland. Minister James Brown, Minister Dara Ryan will be out. I know the Taoiseach will be in areas today as well. And we have a full of government member going to Cabinet tomorrow to give us an overview to add to the work that we've all been doing.
Okay.
Every single member of government, right, having had discussions with Martin Hayden on agriculture, Peter Burke on enterprise.
Okay, Minister, we'll let you go because I know you're trying to make your way there to the Aran Islands. Ciarán Mullooly is with us as well, independent MEP for Midlands Northwest. Good morning to you, Ciarán. I know you've been questioning Raffaello Fitto, who's the Executive Vice President for Cohesion and Reforms at the Regional Development Committee, and that's been happening in Brussels this morning. What were you asking for? What was his response?
Good morning, Claire, and good morning to your listeners. I mean, my first concern, Claire, is a bit like your doctor there in the West morning, boots on the ground and support on the ground. That has been my concern from day one. I was in my home in Roscommon at 3:30 a.m. when I was woken up on Thursday night, Friday morning. And by lunchtime on Friday, the Galway Roscommon TD, Michael Fitzmaurice, had rang me and told me generators are going to be a major problem. He was on the way to sort out a power failure at a local reservoir. And his appeal was, can we get support big time? Irish Water and Enniskillen are doing their best here, he said. But they have limited supply. We know that supply of generators was down south initially. So I turned around on Friday afternoon to the European Commission to see if I could get help. And I got tremendous support from Hadja Labid, the commissioner. She said to me, the mechanism is there. Just for the benefit of listeners, this happens twice or three times a year. There's nothing strange about this in terms of storm incidents. In fact, listeners might remember back in July 2021, Liège, a severe flooding incident. The request came in from the authorities in France on the 14th of July. On the 15th of July, a number of helicopters and flood rescue teams went into the country next door and sorted out the issue.
But Ciarán,
so I asked her for this request to be made on Wednesday.
Yeah.
The answer to the question is it could have been. The minister is mistaken in saying that we must first have the damage. And I'll tell you why, because she's given me a written statement and I've published it. His minister's explanation doesn't stand up to scrutiny. But he said, we provided, as he said there, the emergency reports to him on the impact and the forecasted damage on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So the commission gave the government in Ireland the clear information of the forecasted damage.
But what
I
sorry, Ciarán, I just want to put to you what I understand, having listened to James Brown and again there to Dara Cailleary. What they're saying is you can't make an official request for help until you know what you're looking for. And they didn't know what they were looking for until they had the assessment done on Saturday afternoon. Are you telling me that that's not right?
This, what I'm telling you is that our government and our senior people have to listen to Irish Water and to the ESB, because Irish Water could have told them on Wednesday afternoon that generation was going to be a problem.
But I'm confused. You'll have to explain this to me because I'm confused now, because what the ministers have both said is that until you know exactly what the damage is and what you need, you won't get it. You can't put in the official request until the damage has been done and you know what the damage is.
And this is where we need to be focused on how do you respond when you have a forecast in front of you for unlimited damage. You heard Keith Leonard, the whole country heard Keith Leonard the day beforehand telling us this would be the worst storm Ireland ever saw, the chairperson of our emergency committee. So at that point in time, we needed the expertise to turn around and say, what does that mean? Ultimately, if it's the full island of Ireland, it means electricity failure in every community. And that's almost what happened. And in those circumstances, Irish Water could tell you we didn't have the generator on the island.
So are you saying that we could have used the EU mechanism on Wednesday to get the generators in? Because what the ministers are saying is you can't do that until the damage is done.
That's not correct. That's not correct. And I'll tell you why it's not correct, because Commissioner Labid has made it clear to me that the whole purpose of the engagement is to analyse how bad the emergency is going to be. That's why they gave the Copernicus Rapid Satellite Mapping System to Ireland on Wednesday. So they did the work initially, and she says the clock starts at that point. There's no dispute about this.
And
the government in Ireland can hide about this. I listened to Peter Burke on Sunday say it was misinformation for me. It's not misinformation. This has been pointed out by the Commission already three times, and indeed this morning the Commissioner has said now the next stage must start immediately in terms of future funding to deal with infrastructure issues in the coming weeks. We need to start today.
And
somebody in government buildings who is not involved in electricity restoration today, that's the key thing.
You've heard the Minister you're saying there that that there is money available, the EU Solidarity Fund, an application has been made to that. You can also divert money from other EU funds now to deal with this. Do you think in the first instance people should be getting compensation into their hands who are without power and water and communications?
I honestly think, Claire, it's not an over-exaggeration to say we should have moved people to hotels on the East Coast in safe, warm accommodation last Wednesday. I think people who are vulnerable and older should have been moved to accommodation which was in on the East Coast, which let's face it, was the least brunt of the storm, and should have been brought there last Wednesday. Okay. I genuinely believe we knew from Keith Leonard and his committee this was going to be historic damage, an historic storm. And, you know, compensation now, of course, people need this morning is to get their bloody phone working or get the heat back in the house. Well, and the minister can say
that's that true, it shouldn't in fairness.
Be cold. If you haven't got an open fire in the house, if you haven't got an open fire in the house, how are you not cold today?
All right.
Go and get your own generator, Kieran, or buy your own gas.
Kieran, I'm going to leave it there, but thank you very much. Kieran Mullooly, Independent MEP for Midlands Northwest. Anne Gorby, Principal of Mercy College in Sligo, joins me on the line. And Anne, we really wanted to talk to you because we saw those photographs in the Irish Independent of you standing in the art room with all of the lovely projects that had been sitting there, but the roof was lifted off the school during the storm.
Morning, Claire. Yes, unfortunately, last Friday we went in to check the building and found that one corridor, the roof had completely lifted off the building. So we are without three classrooms and our staff room and a counselling office for the foreseeable future.
And the really important projects, the Leaving Cert projects, were in the room. I know you tried to salvage them. Are they okay?
They're okay. Luckily, we got in on Friday. They were strewn all over the place. And thank God we salvaged them before the rain. If it had been a day later, they would have been, you know, they would have been wet. But thank God we've salvaged them all and they're all intact. Our staff were fantastic on Saturday and spent most of the, you know, of the day there, you know, rolled their sleeves up, got in, and we took pretty much as we possibly could out of that room.
And how's the school? What's going to happen?
We're working at the moment. We have no power. Part of the roof landed on some of the power lines around the school. The ESB have been working for the last day or two, you know, to get the school back in action. We have two-year groups, you know, attending a workshop in one of the local hotels. We had to hire a room. We're hoping that we have power back today and that the school will be back in action tomorrow. But we're doing everything. First of all, it's supposed to get the power back, then to make, you know, the area safe, the school safe. And we're hoping that we will be back tomorrow, you know, that we'll have students back tomorrow.
All right. The best of luck with it, Anne, and thanks for taking the time to speak to us. Anne Gorby, who's Principal of Mercy College in Sligo. Coming up next, the HSE has ordered external reviews into the delivery of 9 babies at Portiuncula University Hospital in Galway. We'll find out more after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.